people.
Don't you know?
Places.
Don't you know?
Events.
Don't you know?
From the campus of Winona State University, KQAL-FM is proud to present...
Don't you know?
Last week on Don't You Know, we had a special visitor. Patrick Merrick from the Winona Post came and visited with us about the ghost of Heffron Hall. We learned about the historic events that shaped the haunting as we know it today, which include the relationship between Father Lachey and Bishop Heffron and their disagreements, as well as a play-by-play of the shooting of Bishop Heffron and some of Patrick's own experiences and the research endeavors he went through to find out more about this particularly chilling case of the ghost of Heffron Hall. Today we continue with part two. We'll talk about haunted happenings at Heffron Hall, as well as the Father Lynch rumors and truths, as well as Patrick's adventures in writing about the ghost, and shenanigans that were pulled at Heffron Hall with people portraying the ghost itself. You're listening to Don't You Know with your host, Terry Tunseth.
I get into my research, and I find out there's an anecdotal story that concerns a dark cult figure, and I had no idea. It goes back to 1945 when Heffron Hall was, they're small rooms, but they had two students in each room. And this guy by the name of O'Malley, who was a hockey player, and he's studying, once again, most of the incidents that happened at Heffron between 1:30 and 3 o'clock when Lachey died, okay? He hears a tapping going down the hallway, like a tapping of a cane on the tiles of the floor. Okay, so here's the tapping. Here's it stop in front of his room. His roommate's taking a sleep. He's snoozing. Okay. Knock on the door. Opens it up. Dark cult figure standing there. And he thinks it's one of the priests telling him he's supposed to be in bed. You know, he shouldn't be studying. So he goes, Father, can I help you? And the figure doesn't say anything. And then says, what do you want? O'Malley's kind of a combative hockey player, whatever, you know. And the figure moans and it says, I want you. So O'Malley, his response is to punch the figure in the face. Okay, so the roommate wakes up, sees this part, said it looked like he was punching a statue. O'Malley breaks his hand and the figure disappears. Well, okay, anecdotal story. The Nexus researchers couldn't find anything in the records of the infirmary that somebody named O'Malley had broken a hand. But I'm still like, well, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Dark cult figure, you know. I saw a dark cult figure in my dream. Kind of strange, you know. All right, so then my daughter, also St. Mary's graduate. Fast forward a few years. She had worked over the summer. She was moving into Third Heffron, okay? She knows all the stories. She's my daughter, okay? She got to move in like a week early, and she's there over the weekend, and there's nobody else on the floor, okay? She calls us 1:30 in the morning, Saturday, in tears, hysterical. Mommy, Daddy, you got to come get me. I can't stay here. We're like, well, what's wrong? She goes, well, the smoke detectors keep going off. And we're like, well, I guess that's kind of normal, but they're going off up and down the hallway. You know, like,
oh,
he's like, well, maybe, you know, they put the batteries in all at the same time so that they could, still kind of weird. Okay, well, that's, you know, honey, that's normal. They probably put the batteries in. Yeah, but my alarm clock's gone crazy too. And we go, well, what do you mean? Because the alarm keeps going on and I can't make it stop. And we're like, well, why don't you unplug it? It is unplugged. So the alarm was going off without it being plugged in, and we had to go get her and bring her home, you know, and kind of strange, you know, and so.
Yeah. How close was she to the original room?
You know, and there's another thing. You know, it's like when you do the research on this thing, first of all, the priest that supposedly burst into flame spontaneously,
right.
Poor Father Lynch, you know, he was the first archivist for St. Mary's, very well thought of, had written a number of books that were very well respected. The students loved him. On the day that he died, he had gone and celebrated Mass, and then he went to see a baseball game, went back to his room. He was going to work on his book. They find him the next morning. What happened is that an electrical cord shorted out, and they had a metal back at the headboard, and he must have touched the headboard, and it went across his chest and killed him. I mean, he didn't burst into flame or anything. He was just dead. You know, so ooh, you know, what do the students do?
Yeah.
Let's just take this poor guy that, I mean, it was kind of a tragedy, but let's just turn him into the ghost of Heffron Hall, and that he has burst into flame. I went to his obituary, and I did read the news stories at the time, and the electrical company did say it was very strange with the amount of electricity that he would die like that. Anyway, so he lived on St. Mary's Hall. He didn't live on Heffron, and the boarded up janitor's closet where he supposedly was killed is just a boarded up janitor's closet, okay? It's kind of a spooky one if you look inside of it, but, you know, hey, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of this activity has happened both in St. Mary's Hall and in Heffron Hall. When the Nexus guys came in, one of the things is they say that there's cold spots, mm-hmm. okay? It's like if you're walking through in a lake in the summertime where everything's cold and you hit a hot spot.
Right.
In reverse, where you would feel that as you're walking down the aisle, maybe at night you'd feel like a cold spot. They came in with infrared and with other stuff, and they did indeed find cold spots. They found it in both in St. Mary's and in Heffron Hall. But I digress, you know. So it's like she had this, and it was down the hallway, but a lot of people in Heffron, all up and down the halls, and not just on 3rd Heffron, on 2nd and 4th, have had experiences.
Okay. So it's no one particular spot. It's just kind of spread out.
Okay. Now, this is the one that really got me.
Okay.
Sarah had a best friend by the name of Melissa, and Melissa had no sense of whimsy about her. I mean, over the summers and stuff, they'd come over to my house, and I'd feed them dinner, make steaks and stuff. She loved the meals. And so, I'm trying to cut up and be funny. Ha ha, Mr. Merrick, you know, real funny. She'd always told me that she had a story. Her dad had supposedly had an incident at Heffron Hall, and she lived at Heffron Hall, too. And it's like, she said, I got a story. Well, I never was able to get the story until right before they graduated. And I said, you know what? At that time, the ghost was, again, persona non grata at St. Mary's, and there were some kids that wanted to do a story about it, and they're like, they won't let me see the file. And I go, well, I got to file this better. Tell you what, let's meet over in 1st Heffron, and I'll interview Sarah and Melissa, and then I'll give you any information that you want, and, you know, and I'll kill two birds with one stone. Always trying to help. Always trying to be there for the students, especially if I can spread the ghost legend. Okay, so, you know, we're talking about stuff, and then this one of the guys' name was Kyle Tipo, who ended up being he worked in admissions after that. He goes, you know what, I got a story. I go, really? What's your story, Kyle? He lived in Heffron for the first semester of 2002, and he said, one night I was up talking to one of my friends in a room about 3 a.m. The door was shut and locked. Suddenly it just opened by itself, and we saw a shadowy figure against the wall. The blinds were closed, so it wouldn't be the moon shining through the clouds or something like that. It was kind of scary. And then we saw a shadow move in the opposite direction, and the door slammed shut. And I'm like, Kyle, thank you. Thank you. Welcome. You're part of the legend. Welcome to the Ghost of Heffron Hall legend. So then I interviewed Sarah, and I obviously knew her whole story. And then Melissa told me this. And this one, I am honest to goodness, this still gives me goosebumps. Okay. She goes, the worst experience happened on 3rd Heffron on October 8th, 2001, about 1:30 in the morning. I was at that point when I was in between being fully asleep and awake. I became aware of a dark presence at the edge of my bed, and all of a sudden I felt like I was being suffocated. I couldn't breathe, and I started to panic, and finally I forced myself to wake up. I felt really weird, and I couldn't get to sleep for the rest of the night, and later I found out there was another girl on 3rd Heffron. Also had a dream about a dark figure and not being able to breathe, and that made me feel even creepier. So I'm sitting there listening to this girl. And I've known that she's not making this up. And she's had the same dream that I had, 20 years before?
Right.
About a dark, cowled figure. It just makes you kind of wonder what this is all about. And I guess the things that get me is there was a guy by the name of Brother John that he was in charge of, he was assistant dean when I was going to school there, late 70s. And right after I wrote my very first article, it was in the Post, he wrote a letter to the editor, you know? I'm like, hey, you know? And he's like saying, you know, I was interested in your Halloween issue. He talked about him being dean, and then he talked about the fact that when he started off as dean, the then president of the college, whose name was Tom McCarver. You know, if you know Tim McCarver, the broadcaster of baseball, is his brother. That was his claim to fame. Anyway, he brought John, we'll call him Brother John, and he showed him at Heffron where they had they had changed the handrails around the staircases. He said they did that so that it would keep kids from jumping. Because he said, you better be prepared, you know, with kids, the kids are going to come and talk to you about the ghost. And you better be prepared if they're really frightened or if they have strange urges, a.k.a. suicide or whatever, that you're just going to have to deal with it. You know, I'm like, wow, what a weird letter to the editor that
That's
was.
That's kind of strange.
So anyway, it's October. I'm never as popular as I am in October. You know, everybody wants to know about the ghost. Brother Paul used to say that when the box elder bugs would arrive, that's when people at St. Mary's would start to talk about the ghost. This is when there's all these people are going to be going up there. Well, anyways, at that time, I was kind of writing every other year about the ghost. I always get the urge to write about the ghost around this time, too.
Right.
I don't have really much to write about it. What am I going to write about? You know. But I was an off year, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to see if I can give him a call, see if he just wants to talk to me about it. So he met me at the Acoustic Cafe. And this is one of these guys that no matter what question you ask, he's going to have an answer for it. And so I go, what is it about this ghost? Why is this ghost so mean? I mean, here's one of the anecdotal stories about this guy that shows up at Heffron, lives in Heffron, and he shows up in the room, and this guy, he supposedly liked to entertain his friends by going into trances. Okay. So, hey, everybody, I'm going to go into trance now. Hey, cool. Anyway, he comes, he bursts into a room, and he is freaked out, and he says, the ghost is chasing me. Help me, help me. And he goes running out of the hallway before anybody can stop him. He runs up into the bluffs, and they all look for him, and they can't find him until the next morning. And he's dead. And his hair has turned bright white. And he has burned into his chest is a cross. And you know what? His fingernails have grown, like, to 3 inches. Okay. That's why I like to call his school spirit, you know, because every time something happens at St. Mary's, the kids grab it, and then they turn it into the legend, just like they did with the electrocuted priest.
Right.
You know? And then so, you know, obviously that never happened, you know. But if it's definitely part of the legend. You'll hear that story over and over again in different ways. So anyway, so I ask him about this, and I go, you know, why is this ghost so mean? He goes, well, this is a profoundly Catholic ghost legend. He goes, it's an evil ghost, and that's unusual, but it was born out of a vicious, evil act. This priest shoots the bishop during Mass. That's a pretty deranged act. I don't think that's going to get a nice poltergeist out of it. It's also amplified by the fact that, now listen to this, it's also amplified by the fact that St. Mary's is a Catholic college where the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is part of our tradition. So if you believe that, how much of this stretches it to believe in an unholy ghost that also dwells within the spirits of the college? I guess I always approach the ghost from the fact that it was a real because the students of St. Mary's were making it real. Therefore, it was a force to be contended with. I'm like, whoa, brother, thank you. I was ready to write my next story, which was The Unholy Ghost. So I'm sitting in Mark Peterson, who is the director of the Winona County History Center. He was always really a mentor for me when I was writing these stories. And I'd always tell him my stories, and he'd laugh, and he'd let me in his archives to get all the pictures and stuff. So I'm sitting down, I'm unveiling my new story. And I told him that story. I go, and Mark, then I had my title for my next story, School Spirit, The Unholy Ghost. And we're both laughing. And then we saw like a little flicker out of the corner of her eyes. And he goes, did you see that? And I go, yeah. And I went and I looked outside. And it was a beautiful day. It was a day in May. Blue skies, nothing, nobody on the streets. So I turned back in and all of a sudden, this huge thunderclap hits. I mean, it was like a sonic boom thunderclap. And we both looked at each other and we started laughing. We high-fived. Thought that's pretty cool. That happened.
Yeah.
Like the ghost was not happy with the title or whatever.
It's a winner.
So, all right. So every year I get to go up to St. Mary's and I tell a much more detailed story about the ghost to freshmen up there, an advanced freshman class, which still amazes me that they allow me to do it. And I'm telling that story and professor says, what was that date? And I told her, and she says, well, I remember that. And you know, if you talk to people in Winona, they still talk about, because I mean, everybody in Winona could hear it, and there was no clouds in the sky. It kind of freaked people out. And he goes, I was sitting in a faculty meeting when that hit, and actually a lightning bolt actually did hit Heffron Hall, and it knocked off a piece of brick, and it landed on a kid's car underneath it.
I think I remember hearing about this now.
It's like, thank you very much. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you one more story, and then I'm going to try to wrap up. Maybe you get a question or two.
Uh-huh.
One of my my children's favorite teachers is a fifth grade teacher over at St. Stan's, and her name's Dee Dee Netto. She's the type of teacher that the kids would go back after they graduated right. to see her because mm-hmm. they liked her so much. Well, that was the very first time I ever made a presentation on the ghost was in that classroom, and she like put stuff up against the windows and had jack-o'-lanterns and stuff going, and she was into it. So that was the first time I ever did it. And then I was a couple of years later, I was at the Cotter auction. I was telling her about the new thing because I thought she'd be interested in my new story. And she goes, well, did you hear about our story? What happened? She told me a story, and then I didn't get her on the record because it was a Cotter auction. And then she wanted me back the next year. I said, well, if you can have me back, you got to tell your story. Okay, so I tell the story to her kids. I go, okay, kids, I'm going to turn the tape recorder on. Now your teacher's got to tell her story. Her husband I don't know if he's still sports information director at St. Mary's, but he's on the faculty at St. Mary's. Okay. Her son had gone to St. Mary's at that time, and he was working over the summer, staying there at a hockey camp, and he was in Benilde, a totally different dormitory. Calls her up. Guess what time? 1:30
in the morning.
Yeah. He goes, Mom, this is a little hockey player. He says, what's the matter? He said, can you hear that? Can you hear the television going? She goes, yeah, turn it down. I can't hear you very well. He said, Mom, I'm holding the cord in my hand. It won't turn off. So there she is. The television's blaring in the room. Her son is hysterical. And she says, well, why don't you go find somebody, find an adult. And so he takes off, finds a friend. The friend witnesses the TV going off without any electricity going to it. And then they get an adult. Of course, it's stopped by then. But, I mean, okay, so you got the situation where a lot of electricity is being involved. In my younger days, I was an announcer for the St. Mary's radio station. Mm-hmm. In those days, we actually broadcast through the electrical system at St. Mary's. I'm just wondering if it's all the Black Sabbath that we played. I don't think maybe this Lachey thing is wrong. But I mean, I do think that if you talk about electricity, you talk about ghosts, you talk about my daughter, my 15-year-old daughter says, you know, I think I got a theory about this ghost thing. You know, she goes, in class, they taught me at school about matter and about that it can't be destroyed. Electricity can't be destroyed.
Right, right.
She says, maybe that's what ghosts are. You know, maybe it's something to do with that inside that electrical system. That's how this poltergeist somehow it managed to. I mean, this stuff about stuff running without being hooked up to electricity. Pretty strange, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
What questions do you have for me?
Is the Nexus still going right now? Or
no.
Okay.
Now, just to tell you a little bit about that Nexus.
Yeah.
I mean, the Nexus was like probably the most boring campus publication that was ever had. I mean, they would do stories about the history of the comma and stuff.
Ugh.
And then until this professor came by the name of Dr. Bob Karras, and he showed up, and he's one of these guys that was, you know, you remember, he's one of these professors that you just remember, you know, because I remember he was a professor, you know, when I was there, and if you had the room next to him, I mean, he'd be standing on top of the desks, and he'd be doing very theatrical things. He had one class where they pretended to, they actually worked that they were going to take over Winona, okay, so that they had a plot to take over Winona, and they had planes flying over and stuff. Well, he showed up in 67, and it was, you know, Vietnam War, people, the ghost frenzy was going crazy, everybody it was going through, because, I mean, think about it. You flunk out during those days. You're in rice paddies in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
A lot of tension, a lot of things going on. And he told me that a lot of a lot of his kids were petrified. They were living in Heffern, and they were petrified about the ghosts. So he was the guy that says, well, he was the moderator for the Nexus. He goes, let's investigate this. And like I said, then he brought all these scientific things in. So you got all these guys crawling over Heffern Hall at 1:30 in the morning. And then they wrote this thing, and they distributed it on Halloween. They got a room, and they've got a coffin, and they filled up the coffin with copies of the Nexus. Some of it's scientific, a lot of anecdotal stuff, like the story I told you about the guy that
hitting the object, you know, that seemed like a statue.
Well, and not only that, the hair turning white and that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, all of a sudden, this publication that nobody cared about became the hottest property ever, and then they were all proud of themselves until the next morning when they all got called into the administration's offices. I mean, they were not amused, and the bishop was not amused. And Dr. Karras really got it.
Yeah.
it does not exist anymore. All they have is a cardinal.
So do kids still run up and down the hallways and do their own testing with it?
Oh, no. I would say no. You know, we used to do stuff like we used to try to mess. I had a buddy of mine that his name is Jim Cruz, and he was an actor. And he loved the ghost, so he'd dress up like Lachey. And one time he got the key to the janitor's closet, and he stuck like a little bit of a jack-o'-lantern in there. Okay, so in those days, you can't get up there on Halloween now because everything's locked up in those days.
Right.
Totally different. So there was one student from Nigeria. He went to the RA, and he said, okay, I'd like to do this. I'd like to dress up like the priest, you know, and then when they come up, they're going to look in the janitor's closet, and I'm going to come behind them and give them a hand on the back of the shoulder, and I'm going to scare the crap out of them, and they're going to run away, and it's going to be a flood of good fun. He goes, okay, but make sure that Evie does not see any of this, because Evie was very frightened by the ghost, and it freaked him out. So, okay, so first person comes up, scare, it happens, and then turns out that Evie walks up, sees Cruz as the ghost, and he just takes off, runs to his room, you know. He goes, I told you there's a ghost, and he runs in his room, and you know, Cruz is like, oh no, the one person that wasn't supposed to see this. So Cruz is like, I'm going to get out of here. So he went, there was no place to go except this one room. So he gets inside, and he waits, and he decides he's going to go out the back way. Goes out the back way. Evie's there again, you know, scares him again, second time. The double scare. And then, he goes, no, Evie, it's me. And he pulls the mask off, and then Evie goes, Evie didn't speak to him for, like, I think 20 years. I think he finally spoke to him after 20 years. Just frightened him very badly.
Oh, no.
Another kid, we dressed him up like the ghost, and we hung him upside down. We lowered him out the window, okay, down to the second floor, so he's there, he's hanging upside down as the ghost.
Oh, wow.
And all the girls on the second floor just ridiculed him. They stood in front of the window and made fun of him. All that work
dang,
for
that's
nothing.
That's a shenanigan,
that's
too.
That's a shenanigan. I mean, that's a lot of work for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so anything else?
Other favorite haunts that people might not know about or know of in Winona?
Lourdes Hall, supposedly, is haunted.
I've had an experience there myself.
I don't know much about that. There's a... Pieces of the Past, which is across from the post on 3rd Street, is haunted by a little girl. That supposedly was a house of ill repute at one time. And there's a little girl that I know they've seen a couple times, and another ghost there. They kind of like that ghost. I mean, they think it's kind of good for business, I guess.
Yeah.
And I know the Historical Society just did a thing called the bar exam, where they went into a couple of downtown bars, and I think that Mulligan's, which used to be a funeral parlor at one time, they have a hard time getting anybody down the basement there because of they're scared about some ghost down there. There's been a number of people that have done things at Woodlawn Cemetery. The body of Lachey is at St. Mary's Cemetery, so they let him in the cemetery anyway,
which
I think is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I just... Once again, I guess when I say school spirit with St. Mary's is that I just think it's and I always tell the kids, I go, you know, this is your ghost. And basically, it's what you make of it. But I said, at the end of all my presentations, I say, okay, but don't be stupid. I mean, like, you know, whether it's true or not, I wouldn't mess with Ouija boards.
No.
I wouldn't do tarot cards. I wouldn't do seances by the place where the bishop was shot. I mean, it's like walking around on a
time
with a five iron during a lightning storm. But there's lots of other great stories. Check it out on WinonaPost.com. Tis the season for the ghost of Heffernan Hall.
It is. And thank you so much for coming in and sharing it with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
A big thank you to Patrick Merrick from the Winona Post for visiting with us about the ghost of Heffernan Hall and all of its wonderful history. You've been listening to Don't You Know.
Thanks for listening to Don't You Know. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Don't You Know is produced by KQAL-FM to keep you up to date on the people, places, and events in and around Winona. Visit us online at kqal.org.